Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Introverted Exhibitionist Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Shoshonek, and I am the vegetable man stalking through the neighborhood, 10 feet tall, composed entirely of vegetable matter, hurling strange vegetable objects at the aliens I'm pursuing through the backyards of the neighbors, even as they gape from their windows, gasping and wondering what's happening to themselves and what's happening to their world, because clearly everything's changed, because the great vegetable man is marching onward, and he continues his well, anyway, that actually is true. I am the vegetable man, and it all there's a good reason for that, and I'll tell you about it a little bit later in the podcast, because it's, well, it's just something that happened. That's where I am now. Again, I'm Robert Shoshonek. I'm the host of the podcast. I'm a best-selling USA Today best-selling author of science fiction, fantasy, crime, comic books, all sorts of things. You can find me all over the internets, the interwebs. Just look up my name on Google and you'll find me. I'm there, believe me. And, you know, this is the podcast where I tell you a little bit about my life. Though I have to say that I've been rethinking the structure of the podcast and thinking of trying some different things. So I'm going to mix it up a little and we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it'll work out. And if it doesn't, well, we'll just revert to the same old original format. But we'll see. Can't hurt to change things up a little. We're 8 casts in now. That's right. Happy birthday to the cast. Happy birthday to the cast. That's right. It's 8 casts old. We're 8 sessions in, which is pretty amazing, considering I really didn't have a podcast for so long, and now all of a sudden I have it, and it's been going well. It's been fun. I've been enjoying it, and I hope you've been enjoying it too. So anyway, typically, this is the part of the podcast where I tell you a little bit about my week. It has been a busy time, as it usually is this time of the year. I've been busy trying to get Christmas things ready with my wife, doing shopping, getting ready for our annual Christmas Eve party, which we have at our house for family and friends. So we've been shopping, picking up food, picking up alcohol, beer, whatever, and getting things ready for the big event. So that's been keeping us busy. Also, work has been very busy, the day job. Yes, I have a day job. And that's kept me on my toes. And then in the evenings, I've been doing a lot of writing, working on the Earthtaker novel. I am now 42,000 words in, just over 42,000. And that's pretty good because my goal was 50. So I'm almost there. It's such a good feeling. And I'm in the peak action point, right? We're in the climax of the book where all the threads are coming together and the characters are clashing and the excitement is building. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, if you don't know about Earthtaker, it's the latest volume in my Gaia Charmer World Warrior Urban Fantasy series. It's about a woman who is the human personification of the spirit of Mother Earth, and she has the powers of the Earth. She can control rock and stone and earthquakes and dirt, and she can cause mudslides and split the Earth open and make things happen. Anyway, she's very powerful, and she has different adventures. This is the third book in the series. It was preceded by book one, Earthshaker, and book two, Earthbreaker. Earthbreaker has not officially been published yet. That was part of a box set earlier this year, and actually it was a USA Today best-selling box set. It did really well, so I think the book was well-received. We're going to publish it officially in January, and I'm just getting set up for that now. Earthtaker, the third book, will be coming out in February, so you have that to look forward to, and it's coming along pretty well. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I think you're going to really enjoy it when you get your paws on it. So that's what I've been up to, basically, is working, getting ready for Christmas, and writing the book. I've had a lot of other things happening, too. A lot of things have been piling up on my to-do lists, but I just haven't been able to fit them in. In fact, I'm swimming in to-do lists, literally. They're everywhere. They're stuck to me. They're stuck to the desk. They're stuck to the ceiling. They're stuck everywhere. Every time I open a door, an avalanche of to-do lists falls out like an avalanche of tribbles from the storage unit on board the Enterprise in the episode The Trouble with Tribbles on Star Trek. And it's crazy. I just can't seem to get ahead of the game right now. I'll have a weekend and I'll start the weekend and I'm like, I'm going to get all this stuff done. Items 1 through 10 will be accomplished by the end of this weekend. So help me, or I will know the reason why. And I get to the end of the weekend and I'm like, I don't know the reason why. I didn't get any of it done. All I did was work on the novel. So that's good. Plus my, you know, other stuff, Christmas chores and errands and all that sort of thing. So anyway, it has been a busy time, as you can tell. And I'm getting ready to go into another week. Tomorrow's the day job Christmas party, which is coming up and is always fun. And then we have a lot of other things happening here in the near future, and I'll tell you about those next week. But in the meantime, let me tell you a little bit about what I've been reading or listening to. I've been listening to a Stephen King audiobook, and that's been interesting. I sort of got away from Where the Crawdads Sing a little bit. I was listening to that for a while, and, you know, it's starting to lose my interest. I hate to say it. Maybe it's the format of the audiobook. I'm not quite sure, but it's kind of losing me. And so I had to put it aside. Maybe I'll come back to it later, and I'll be able to pick it up, and, you know, I'll find that it was wonderful from, you know, wonderful all along, and I just needed to step away and come back to it. But the Stephen King book is The Institute. So that started off a little weird, and I wasn't sure if I was going to like it, but it's getting my attention, so we'll see. On the comic book side, I've been reading the new series of New Mutants from Marvel, which has been fun. I've enjoyed that. And Wonder Twins, yes, Wonder Twins, from DC Comics, written by one of my favorite writers, Mark Russell. You know, if he's working on it, the book sort of reaches beyond the usual norms that you would expect from a superhero comic. He's really something. I've also been reading Freedom Fighters. I read issue 11 of that, and that's picking up steam, heading toward the climactic final issue of the 12-issue maxi-series, and I read a Boba Fett comic on the Star Wars side, which was fairly entertaining. So that kind of catches you up on that. I've been watching some other stuff on TV, in addition to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is still a lot of fun, and Watchmen. I've been catching up on some of the superhero series on the CW, getting ready for the Crisis on Infinite Earths, because the original Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was published in comics back in the 80s, during the peak of my interest in comics, was a big series for me, and it was a milestone, of course, in the comics industry, and I really loved it, and I want to see what they do with it on TV. So I've been trying to catch up on some of those shows, and what else? Oh, I saw the Shazam movie, finally, and that was a lot of fun, I have to say. Very entertaining. Some really big laugh-out-loud moments in it, and yet it's designed for younger viewers. I wouldn't say it's a kids' movie, but it's definitely younger skewing, but there's plenty of good stuff in there, and lots of laughs, and just a real light tone, and yet plenty of menace from the bad guy, and it was good. I enjoyed it. So that's where my entertainment this week has been centered. And now we come to the part of the cast where I do a reading of some sort or play back a clip from an audiobook. The last couple times I've played some clips, I think I'm going to do a little bit of a reading now. And this is from Christmas at Glossers, which is a story that I wrote, oh, I don't know, let me think, 7 years ago, something like that. And it's about a classic department store in the Johnstown area, in downtown Johnstown, which has been closed for a long time. I think it closed in 89, but it was around for a long time before then, and it really left its mark. A lot of people loved that store, and they still have really fond memories of it. And my wife had suggested to me that maybe I should write something about Glossers at some point, because we were both very nostalgic for the store. I said, hey, why not? Let's give it a shot. And it turned out to be the beginning of a line of very successful books for me. Christmas at Glossers, the fiction book, came out, and it sold really well, and it encouraged me to write Long Live Glossers, which is the whole non-fictional story of the store, the company, the family, the Glosser family, and that did really well, and I went on from there to write a whole series of fiction stories based on glossers, which are each centered on a different holiday. There's Halloween at glossers, Easter at glossers, Thanksgiving at glossers. Hey, when you get on something good, you keep going with it, right? So I've had a lot of success with that line, and I'm glad that I started with Christmas at glossers. So let's do a little excerpt from that book here. I'll do a reading and see what you think. Christmas at glossers, page 1. What happened in the secret sub-basement of Glossers Department Store in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, every Christmas Eve? Jack Schaefer found out in 1975 when he was 11 years old, and then he found out what it felt like to die. "Where did you say you were going?" Mom stared at Jack through slitted eyes, holding one hand over the phone receiver in her grip. "The library." Jack scrubbed his fingers through his short sandy hair in frustration. Mom had been talking on the phone and hadn't heard him the first two times he'd said it. "There's a book I need to get." Mom waved him off. "Go on, then." She didn't ask if he was sure the library was open on Christmas Eve. Didn't tell him to be careful or hurry home. She wasn't always big on that sort of thing, since her latest boyfriend had moved out. Jack pulled on his navy blue jacket over his red sweatshirt and blue jeans. "See ya." Mom didn't answer. Her hand was already off the receiver. As Jack zipped up the jacket and marched toward the front door, he heard her talking excitedly into the phone again. "He'll definitely be at church tonight, Deb. You really think he'll like me?" Scowling, Jack threw the door open and slammed it shut behind him. As he ran off down the street, all thoughts of Mom's dating life shot right out of him. He had bigger things on his mind, a mystery he needed to solve. One involving the only man he truly cared about in the whole world. The door on the yellow-sided house, two blocks from where Jack lived, opened slowly, and a heavy tread came down on the front porch. As Jack watched from behind a tree on the other side of the street, a tall man with wavy silver hair stomped down the four steps from the porch to the sidewalk. The man wore a dark gray jacket zipped halfway up over a big pot belly. Under the jacket, he wore the same thing he wore every day, a crisp white button-down shirt and black tie. His trousers were black, too, and so were his immaculately shined Oxford shoes. If Jack had called out to him at that moment, "Hey, bub," the man would have grinned and waved him right over. Not only was he Jack's grandfather, Mom's dad, but he was Jack's biggest supporter, always there when he needed him. Except for one night out of the year, that is. One night when he was nowhere to be found. Christmas Eve. Jack waited for Bub to get half a block down the street, then followed, taking care to stay far enough back that he wouldn't likely draw Bub's attention. Whenever he could, he lingered behind trees or lampposts or parked cars, ever ready to duck down if needed. But Bub never looked back. He just kept rambling down the street, eyes dead ahead, staring toward his mysterious errand. Suddenly, a neighbor lady, Mrs. Williams, pushed open her car door in front of Jack. "Well, hello there, Jackie." She was in her 80s and stooped with arthritis, but got around fine, even drove herself on errands. "Do you think you might help me with my groceries?" Jack shook his head. "I'm sorry, Mrs. Williams, but I can't. I'm in a hurry."
"But it will just take a minute, Jackie."
"Next time, sorry." Jack's guts jittered when he looked up ahead where Bub should be. He was nowhere in sight. Mrs. Williams was saying something, but Jack ran off without another word. No way was he going to wait another year to find out Bub's secret. There was an intersection up ahead, and Jack charged toward it. Stopping on the corner, he looked right, then left, then stomped his foot angrily. He saw no sign of Bub in either direction. Thinking fast, Jack sprinted forward, hoping for a glimpse of Bub down one of the cross streets or alleys. He didn't spot him at the first street, or even the second, but he caught a glimpse at the third, a flash of Bub's silver hair and gray jacket sliding past. Jack gasped in relief and veered right down the side street. Reaching the end, he leaned out in time to see Bub disappear around a corner.
"Jeez!"
Jack panted as he darted after him. The old man was giving him a run for his money as he navigated the maze of the neighborhood in Dale Borough, not far from downtown Johnstown. Peeking around the corner, Jack saw Bub continue straight ahead. He fell in behind him, keeping his distance as before, and wondering what exactly Bub intended to do downtown, since that was where he was headed. That's it for that reading. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to know more about that story, I hope you'll pick up a copy of Christmas at Glossers. You can find it anywhere online, at any online bookstore. It's available as an ebook, a paperback book, and an audiobook. So any format that you're looking for, you can find. But it was a lot of fun for me to write, and I really enjoyed the fact that it was kind of based on some elements of my childhood. The character of Bub is actually my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, and he was an important figure to me, and he died when I was in high school, so it was really great to be able to sort of bring him back in a way. I really enjoyed that, and that's an interesting part of being a writer, being a creative person, and having some command of the elements that you use in stories. It's one of the things I'm going to talk about here in my closing thoughts, and that's, where do you get your ideas, right? That's one of the ways that you get your ideas as a writer, at least that's one of the ways I do, is things from my life, things from my past, things that have some emotional resonance for me or were just cool or interesting. You sort of keep them all in your head and they sort of swirl around up there. And once in a while, one of them will pop out when you least expect it. And you think to yourself, yeah, that could be interesting. Maybe I could use that. Or I could base a character on this person or that person, or I could use that situation or a variation on it. And that's one of the main ways that I come up with ideas, of course, from my life, from my memories. That's, you know, that's where you get things. You also get things from, you get ideas from things that you read or you see on TV or in the movies or that you experience, you know, each day in your life. It's just how it all goes into that same pot. And I also get a lot of ideas from dreams. And I don't think they're always directly influencing my writing, but I think they sort of filter around in the back of my mind and they sort of zip in and out of the fog. And once in a while, something will pop up and I'll say, yeah, that's great. And I'll put that in too. So it's just another part of that whole pot of ingredients, the pot of inspirations. In fact, that's where the vegetable man came from. That was from a dream that I had this week. It was a really vivid dream, too. It was really amazing. In that dream, I was living at my family's former residence on Hostetler Road here in the Johnstown area. And for some reason, I was a vegetable being of some kind, like Swamp Thing or something, the Floronic Man, I don't know, a big Triffid guy, the Jolly Green Giant, whatever. Maybe not the Jolly Green Giant. Definitely not Sprout, right? Not Sprout. But I was this vegetable creature, and I was striding through the backyards of the neighborhood, which are still very vivid in my imagination, even though I haven't lived there for many years, and I, you know, really, that's all changed a lot. I see it occasionally when I pass by. I know that whole world has changed, but in my mind, it's still locked in on when I lived there. So I was striding. I was like, I don't know, 10 feet tall, 7 feet tall, whatever. And I was striding through the neighborhoods, and there were alien beings or something that I was chasing. They were trying to invade. I don't know what they were doing. Coming for us, coming to take us away or to take over the neighborhood. I don't know. It's like the monsters are due on Maple Street. You know, they were trying to, who knows. I don't remember that part of it. But anyway, I was striding along in this vegetable form, and I was generating these big rotten tomatoes, and I was wailing them at these aliens as they were fleeing before me. And I was just splattering these big tomatoes against these things, and they kept running and screeching, and I was like, I'll stop you. And anyway, when I got up in real life, I thought, hey, that's a really cool idea. I've got to jot that down. Maybe I'll do something with it later. I'm not sure if I will, but it did start me down some other paths of thought and started me in the direction of some other ideas that I think I will use, actually. And if I can ever get around to it, if I can finish the book and get to the other thing that I want to write. Okay, things that I want to write. I have so many of them. Anyway, that's part of what goes into my thought process as far as coming up with ideas for writing. It's your life experience, your daily world in which you live, and the experiences that you have and the people that you meet, and also your the things that you read, the things that you see on TV and in movies, and of course your dreams. Those are all part of that big flux, that big continuum of input that goes into helping you to generate the ideas that you put into your stories and your novels. And it's really fun to sort around in there and come up with things. And it's true also that sometimes you need to repopulate that flux, that amalgamation of idea material, the raw material. Sometimes it feels like it can get a little low, especially if you're in some kind of a, you know, difficult state of mind, things are going crazy or off the rails, or if you just haven't been reading or watching TV, or if you just don't have enough input, sometimes that can be a problem too. So it's important to always have a lot of input and to be aware of the different sources of ideas, where things can come from, and to make sure you always have a notepad present or a voice recorder. And geez, if you have a phone, you've got a voice recorder, right? These days, we all do. We carry them with us all the time. I use mine all the damn time. There's a recorder on my iPhone, and I'm always jacking that baby on and like just reciting ideas. Hey, what about this? Don't forget, try this. This is a great plan. Let's have this creature from this other world who descends into hell, and it's a human hell, but it's an alien creature, and there's conflict. You know, stuff like that. It is a good way to record your ideas. Just make sure you don't delete them before you've used them. So that's my closing thought for today, a little discussion of an element of writing that I think is really important and fascinating. So that's it for this edition of the IE Cast. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll visit some of my social media presence out there in the world. You can find me on Facebook as Robert Shoshonek. You can find me on Twitter as @TheFictioneer. You can also find me on Instagram as Robert Shoshonek and just anywhere else you can think of. I hope you'll especially check out on Facebook the Robert's Readers group. Robert's Readers. It's a Facebook group where you can get lots of free stuff from me. I will give you stories and books and cool stuff that you can't get anywhere else for free. So get on that group. It's really cool. You got a great group of people on there. There's some nice conversation that happens. We discuss all kinds of different things, and it's a lot of fun. Of course, it would be great if you're interested in reviewing some material and maybe putting something online. But, you know, either way, you're going to have some great reading material and some great company. So get on Robert's Readers on Facebook. Okay, do it. That's your homework for next time. I want to hear back that you did your assignment, or else I'm telling you, you're going to have 50 smacks with a ruler on your left wrist. And then I'm going to go in for the right wrist with another 50. So that's, no, I'm not going to really do that. Of course not. I'm kidding. I'm being facetious. Don't take it seriously. All right. Anyway, so be sure to visit me on the social media, and also please leave a rating or review. I'd really appreciate that. That would help to make the podcast more visible and more well-received. I also hope you'll consider sponsoring me on Patreon. Check me out on Patreon. Look up my name, Robert Shoshonek. It would be great to have you as a patron, and I will mention you in my podcast, and I will say something ridiculous about you that you will remember and think is cool and funny. And it's just going to be a wonderful thing for you. So get on board, because Patreon's cool and you can get even more free stuff on Patreon than you get on Robert's Readers. So get on there. There's exclusive content and cool stuff, depending on which level you subscribe at or decide to donate, right? It's real cheap. You can get on there for $1 and you'll get your name listed and mentioned on the podcast, and I'll talk about you, right? Not behind your back, like in front of you. So, but you'll like it. I'm telling you, you'll like it. You'll enjoy it. It's fun. So, check those things out. And in the meantime, this is the Introverted Exhibitionist Podcast. I hope you'll remember, as always, if you're a writer, keep on writing. If you're an artist, keep on arting. If you're a musician, keep on performing. Whatever it is that you do, that you love the most, keep on doing it. As long as you're not hurting anybody, and as long as it's creative and fun. So that's it for this time. That's it for this edition of the IE Cast. I hope you'll join me again next week or whenever I have my next podcast. I might miss one in here. It's the holiday season. Don't forget, Christmas is coming up. I'm not sure I'm going to do one Christmas week. It's going to be busy. It's going to be crazy. I mean, I got to get in my sleigh and then ride all through the world, spreading joy as usual. Oh, I didn't tell you about that? Well, I'll keep that for the next edition. I kind of forgot you didn't know that I do that. It's a sideline, but, you know, it's something I do just for a kick. It's a hoot. It gets me out. And what can I say? It's fun. Who wouldn't do that? Who wouldn't want? Anyway, I'm getting weird. So that's it for the IEcast. Please join us next time again for the next edition of the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast here on the Planet Bob Network. Good night.